Ramsey TV.
I really love to riff off of the Hebrew scriptures. It's been a long time since I've done that. I did it yesterday. It's Isaiah chapter 26. There's just so much rich material that can really be adapted. But all scripture is for us. And so there's so much in the Hebrew scriptures that we sometimes ignore that can be adapted to our use when it comes to basic truths about God. Well, I remember in the early days back in the 80s, 86, 87, when I first got a concordance. No, that was probably about 85. I first got a concordance and I was just the marvels of a concordance opened up to me. And I could look at all these scripture verses and just look up each word. And the thrill I had was going to other passages where that word occurred and getting the greater context and then just pulling a spiritual gem out of it. It's been so long since I've done that. In fact, I had a hard time getting out of the Hebrew scriptures into the Greek scriptures just because of all the allegories there, all the figurative flowery language. And again, there's a lot you can adapt because all scripture is for us, not all to us. And remember, Paul says in another place that these things happen as an example for us. So along that line, maybe I'll do more of this because there's so many untapped treasures here. We tend to ignore the Hebrew scriptures like, none of it's for us. And I myself have told you, well, you only need to read the Greek scriptures. And that's true. But to me, this is recreation. I mean, I just love it. So maybe I'll end up doing more of it. I don't know. But I'm in a Davidic psalm, Psalm 139. And this, if you ever wanted a sovereignty of God passage, this is it. But the best thing to me about this passage is its revelation concerning darkness. Because darkness is a scary time. Everything's worse at night. It's has something to do with the absence of light, yeah? The absence of light, of course. But that's from our perspective. To God, there is no absence of light. And the truth is, there's no such thing as absolute darkness. That even what we would call darkness consists of small amounts of light. It's just light on a lower level. I heard myself say this on one of the recent Sunday shows from a talk I gave 27 years ago. See? I think I might have quoted Psalm 139. I used to love going through the Hebrew scriptures. So let's do Psalm 139. I'm going to do it. Let's do it. I'm just going to go down it. I'm going to riff on it because I enjoy this sovereignty of God. Oh, Yahweh. I told you yesterday, Yahweh. Yahweh is his chosen name and it's a time name. Will, being, and was. I'm not going to comment on every word because I want to get to the sovereignty of God and I want to get to the darkness because I'm going to give you a great comforting verse concerning darkness. Oh, Yahweh, you have investigated me and are knowing me. Investigated me. See, I love this. I love that God knows everything about me. How dare anyone think that they can hide things from God? I think of Jonah trying to get on a ship to escape God. It's like, I want to be known by him. I don't care what he drags up. I don't care. I want to be exposed, whatever is in there. I want God to know it. And he does. You have investigated me and are knowing me. Some people would say, uh-oh, not me. Not me. I'm happy as hell about it. You yourself know my sitting down and my rising up. This is not literally sitting down and literally standing up. It's the idea of bookends. Like, you know me from start to finish. You understand my thought from afar. Yeah, where is God? He seems like he's far away, but he's not. No, he's everywhere. He's inherent in everything. And he says, you understand my thought from afar. But see, from afar, that's also a figure of speech because it's only in our perception, God is far off. But in actuality, he is as near to us as the inner workings of our body and the workings of our mind. You understand my thought from afar. Isn't that crazy how we try to keep our thoughts from God? Say, oh boy, I better not say that, as if saying it is going to bring it to God's attention. Oh, I didn't know anything about that until that person said that. He should have kept it to himself. I never would have known. Oh, that's the Christian God, maybe. My path and my palate you have measured off. And for all my ways you have made provision. All my ways are provided for ahead of time. For though there be no declaration on my tongue, behold, O Yahweh, you know it all. What a know-it-all. Yahweh is such a know-it-all. The declaration is not even on my tongue. And before I myself think anything, God already knows it. Why? Because he tells the end from the beginning. And as I said, Isaiah 46:10, everything is pre-written. Everything is designated beforehand, every little detail, including your thoughts. For though there be no declaration on my tongue, behold, O Yahweh, you know it all. Back in front, you have besieged me. Back in front. Here we go with the bookmark again. Back in front. My sitting down, my rising up, path and palate. Back and front, you have besieged me. It's this idea that it really goes along with Isaiah 46:10. God knows the end from the beginning. So we have end, beginning, sitting up, sitting down, rising up, path and palate. Is palate something you slept on? I think your palate was your bed. So my path when I'm walking and when I'm sleeping, you have measured off everything. All my ways you have made provision. Back in front, you besieged me. We think of besieging in a war scenario, like we're being besieged, we're being attacked. Well, God is a benevolent force and we are being attacked by a benevolent force. All this crazy free will stuff that God is a gentleman and he won't interfere in your free will, that is such a crock because he is besieging us constantly. I love how he puts it. This is a word we associate with rudeness and with war and with an attack. But David is rejoicing in it, and I am rejoicing in it. Back in front, you have besieged me, and you set your palm upon me. Hey, that's good for me. I like that. Set your palm upon me. Some people are happy to think of God being far off, or God giving them a perimeter, or a sacred perimeter. That's what free will is, a sacred perimeter where he cannot enter. Nope, David celebrates that he's being besieged constantly by God, and that's a good thing. And you set your palm upon me. Marvelous is such knowledge beyond me. Marvelous is such knowledge. See, it's something you can know, and it's something we know, and it's marvelous. It is a marvel because human beings can't do this. Human beings can't know one another. Jesus Christ could read people's thoughts, and he can know their hearts. Let's put it that way. I won't say any more than what Scripture says. He knew people's hearts. But God knows everything, and I don't think that can be said of our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself admitted that concerning the hour of his return, no one knows the hour, not even the Son at this time. So, but God knows everything, and that's the knowledge of God's omniscience is beyond me, says David, and it's beyond us, but we know it's true and we love it. It is impregnable. I cannot reach to it. Okay, well, there's an excuse for not knowing it. It's impregnable. You can't know it, but you can accede to it. You can agree with it. You can say, yes, it's true. I don't know how it is, but it's true. Free will people, beware. They don't even think it is true. David's not doubting that it's true. He's just saying it's so marvelous that it is true that I can't even comprehend the inner workings of it. It's so impregnable as far as understanding the hows of it. See, we understand, we can even understand the why of it and the that of it, that is that it exists, but the how of it, how does God do this? No, of course, that is impregnable. Whether could I go from your spirit? Jonah didn't read this. Whether could I go from your spirit, and whether could I run away from your presence? Not that anyone would want to. I would run toward God's presence, even in the thunder and lightning storm. I think this is why I am attracted to severe weather, because to me, it's one of the closest things we can have today to the judgments of God. We know that there's going to be thunder and lightning. God uses that stuff. On Mount Sinai, they were thunder and lightning and the thunders of Revelation. They're actually called thunders. And as the lightning flashes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So I am attracted to thunderstorms. I'm attracted to thunder and lightning and even tornadoes. I've never seen a tornado, but I have a fascination for them. And I would run to them, not away from them. Most normal people run away from thunder, lightning, and tornadoes. I do not. I've often thought I would love to spend a summer in Oklahoma chasing tornadoes. I would go toward the tornado. And somebody would say, but Martin, what if you get sucked up by the vortex? What if you get sucked up by the vortex? Come get me, vortex. Come get me, vortex. Because to me, that's, to quote a great line from Twister, that's the finger of God. I'll go up in that vortex. Didn't Elijah get caught up in a whirlwind? What's that? It's a tornado. It's a God-nado that took up Elijah. Lucky bastard. Whither could I go from your spirit? Whither could I run from your presence? If I should climb to the heavens, you are there. Well, that's obvious. How about this one? And should I make my birth in the unseen? Behold, you are there. I'll never forget my father-in-law, my future father-in-law at the time, was 1981. He showed me this verse. He was trying to show me how the word hell had been mistranslated. Hades in the Old Testament. No, a Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the New Testament, and how that would have been translated in various ways. And he quoted the King James here, even if I make my bed in hell, you are there. So he would say that, look, even in hell, God is there. Of course, he would use this, my father-in-law would use this against the standard Christian. He didn't believe in eternal torment. He's the one that talked to me into not believing in it because he gave me a concordance and he showed me and I mulled it over for a year or two and I finally realized the old man was right. He was right. And he always quoted this from the King James Version. Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You know, and he would use it to combat the standard Christian understanding of hell. As a place where their God is not. As a place where people are burning and there's no sign of God. But even God himself is there. Even if somebody went to the... Even if it were possible for somebody to go to the fictitious Christian hell, God would be there. There's no place where God is absent. But of course, it's the unseen. Should I make my birth in the unseen? It's simply an invisible state, often referred to figuratively to describe death. There's no one who is dead that God is not aware of. That's the truth here. Behold, you are there. Should I wear the wings of dawn? Should I indeed tabernacle in the hindermost sea? Even there, your hand, it will guide me. God to Jonah. Hey. I don't know if this psalm existed in the days of Jonah, but he could have used this. Should I indeed tabernacle in the hindmost sea? Even there, your hand, it will guide me. Of course, Jonah found out you can't run away from God in a boat. Big revelation for Jonah. Can't run away from God in a boat, but it was a big boat. Oh, sorry, can't do it. Yes. Even there, your hand, it will guide me. See, before he says, you set your palm upon me, and you don't know, is that good or bad? Set your palm upon me. Could have used it to crush me. But here he says, and your right hand would hold me. See, when God's hand comes down, of course he doesn't have a hand, this is all a figure of speech, anthropomorphia. But when God's hand is like, you're afraid of the touch of God, he's going to destroy. Certainly he has the power to destroy. But first and foremost, God gives life, and your hand guides me. And every day we're guided by a God who besieges us from the front, from the back, from all sides. We're besieged in a good way. We cannot escape God guiding us, even though we're ignorant of it. Speaking especially of people who believe in human free will, they're ignorant of the guiding hands of God. And your right hand would hold me. If I said, surely darkness, here's the main thing I want to get at, and I'm going to have to close. Even though I love this psalm. There's a lot of psalms I love. I love Isaiah. I love Jeremiah. I love Ezekiel. I love Daniel. I love Hosea. I love Joel, come to think of it. Amos, Jonah, no, not so much. Obadiah, Micah, yes. Nahum, Habakkuk, not so much. Zephaniah, I love Zephaniah. Hey, guy. Zechariah, yes. Malachi, the last guy to write. Yeah, I love all those guys. Well, most of them. If I said, surely darkness, it snuffed me up. And that's what we say at night sometimes. Darkness snuffed me up. It's like, it's dark. God's not here. I wish God understood me. Now listen to this. And if we say, surely darkness, it snuffed me up, and night is belted about me. What a figurative usage of belted. Like night is just, it's like cinched me. And I'm bound to night and I can't get out of it. Watch this now. Verse 12, even darkness, it is not darkening to you. That's the truth of the day. Darkness is not darkening to you. And the night as the day is giving light. The night is giving light. The next time you're scared of the dark, the next time you have these foreboding thoughts, I want you to think of it from God's perspective. The night is giving light. I think this is literal. I think it's also, it can be looked at figuratively, but I prefer to look at it literally first. It's literally true. The night is giving light. Night, i.e. darkness, is just subdued light. There's no such thing as absolute darkness. Just as there's no such thing as the absolute absence of God. If God is not there, it's a figure of speech. It just means that God is on a low level of causing people to realize him. He's dialing back his perceivable presence. But he's never completely gone from anywhere. Though I make my birth in the unseen, you are there. The night as the day is giving light. Darkness is as light. In fact, the is not in the Hebrew text. It's in light face type in the Concordant version. By the way, I'm reading from the Concordant version of the Old Testament. You can get it online. You can read it for free. Go to concordant.org. Right on the top of the first page, you can see read New Testament online, read Old Testament online for free. Very generous of those folks at concordant.org. I learned a lot from them. Go to concordant.org. Great supporting literature. And you can get a hard copy of the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant version of the Old Testament. Even darkness, it is not darkening to you. And the night as the day is giving light, darkness is as light. For you yourself achieved the making of my innermost being. You overshadowed me in my mother's belly. I like this part, and I think I'm going to close with this. There's more to this chapter. I wish I could keep going, but I can't. But he just says that darkness is as light, and then he says, you achieved the making of my innermost being in my mother's belly. Where would you think it would be the most dark? In your mother's belly. Nobody knows what's going on in your mother's belly. Of course, now they have the sonograms that people are obsessed with. I want to see the baby already. Yeah, no patience anymore. So we're gonna send sound waves into the baby's skull. I don't know if it's a good idea, but anyway. If there's one place that you would think of that would be hidden, if there's one place you would think of that would be dark, if there's one place you could think of that would be inaccessible, at least to the people of this era when David wrote this, it would be the in your mother's belly, her womb. But it was there that you achieved the making of my innermost being. Oh, that's a high point. I can't get better than that right now. You did your greatest work in the darkest place. And you will find it in the darkest places of your life, whether it's figurative darkness or literal darkness. God does his greatest works. He is not hindered by the darkness. In fact, it was in darkness that he formed, that he knew, that he achieved your innermost being.